I'm Bobby. That's the name I'm using tonight. Thank you, John. Finally. Anyway, I did this step under the aegis of this group, or the Hyannis group, long time ago, and my sponsor was Don. The sponsor I had initially went away to the Canary Islands on business. That was Frank. He passed away. And then I asked Don if he would help me through the, show me how to do the fourth step. And I knew how to do some of it, but unless you do it by yourself, silently and all that, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about anything when I first went into the Hyannis group, although I've been in AA like 22 or 3 years and met with many, 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 many detoxes. So this chapter is called How It Works. It doesn't talk about why it works or when it works or this or that. We don't get into the psychology of it, the psychiatry of it or anything like that, or the morality of it. It's just, this is how it works. This is what we do. This is what we did. So I think the sanest or the best thing you can say at a meeting is, here's what I did, rather than here's what I think, or here's my interpretation, here's my analysis, here's my judgment, here's what I think. No, this is what I did. I didn't know all this stuff was in this book, by the way. It's the first 23 years I was in AA. I didn't even know it. I was that ignorant about it. And I didn't feel that bad because we're all ignorant about different things. For example, I'm ignorant about needlework, but I don't give a fuck. Or in knitting, I'm not interested in. So we're all ignorant, we're just ignorant about different things. My point is, above and beyond this book, the first like 104 pages particularly, and things like these, they have to be taught. That's my strong opinion on it. It has to be taught. I mean, you can read it silently, and you can read it in a library, and you can go online, and you can do this, but I think it has to be taught, because what we're more interested in is the word experience. Experientia means to put to the test. So you have to be put to the test. And the ultimate question is in here to every speaker is, did you do the step? Did you actually do the step? Or did you fuck around with it? Or do you think you did the step? Or did you do it by yourself? Or did you do it through, like on a beach in California, at an AA meeting in California? So it's that's the bottom line. Did you do the step? And then how did you do it? So we're very polite in here, and we don't usually speak out at people that speak out of turn and all that. But that's the point of this meeting. It has to be disciplined, because believe me, I've been around AA for about maybe 54 years, and terrible things have happened to AA over the years, from the looseness of it, and I shouldn't get into that, but what do we end up with? Fucking celebrity rehab. Come to Florida. Bring your Wall Street Journal. Bring your computer. There's no must. There's nothing. It isn't the discipline there. We have to say, here's what we did. So anyway, here's what I did. And this is what the sponsor told me. I had to write 6 hours a week. I had to write every other day. They told me what meetings I should go to. And they didn't tell me what other meetings, but they just said, this is a good meeting to go, or that's a good meeting to go to. And I had been around for 23 years, and I knew nothing. I mean, really nothing about the program until I hadn't changed at all. So, and this is about change. It's about a psychic change, and it's about a spiritual change, shift in the body of attitude, self kind of things, a new way of looking at things. So I used to have bruises on my head coming home from the Hyannis meeting, from saying, oh, I didn't know that. Who was telling me these things? Plumbers and masons and motorcycle guys and this and that, wallpapers and painters. They would give me this information because it wasn't intellectual, that it was wisdom. Why? Because they've been through pain. All learning, says Aristotle, is accompanied by pain. So experience is the big thing. Can't say, here's the question. Did you climb that mountain? Well, I went to L.L. Bean and I ordered the proper mountain. No, I don't talk about it. Did you climb the mountain? Well, I want to be a shepherd and I'm interested in the sweet grasses on the lee side of the mountain. We're not talking about that. Did you climb it? Well, I'm a mineralogist and I'm interested in what kind of elements there are in that mountain that we can mine. No, we're not talking about that. Or I'm a skier, see, and I'm reading a book on skiing now, and it's, no, you're full of shit. Did you do the work? Did you actually do the work? Sit down and do it. As we were instructed by people who'd done it before us. So that's what I did. The step is divided into three parts: resentments, fear, and sex. Those are the three big engines that run our lives. Resentments, fear, and sex, okay? Resentment is re-feeling something. The kid in the fourth grade that punched me in the mouth. So I resented that kid up until 1983. And when I was in school at this time, I was about 8 or 9 years old, and that was in like 1939 or something like that. So I resented that fucking kid all those years. So I wouldn't let something like that heal. I'd keep pulling the skin off the wound. Never let it heal. Or that woman that did me, the woman that said this, or that woman that didn't do this, or whatever. So all those resentments. So it's these are poison to alcoholics because they can get people drunk. They're lethal. So I had about five different books. First were the names of people, places, and institutions that I was angry with or resentful about or had pissed me off or whatever. Those were the names. I took those names and I transferred them into resentments. So now I got Joe and so forth. I have to put down what resentments on there. And then after I did the resentments and had that book, I had another book that did what I call the analysis of the resentments, because that's the phrase that the book uses. It's the analysis of the resentments. We use a term, the turnarounds, we turn it around. In other words, it's a self-examination, it's a moral examination. This is the last fucking thing I would ever do in my life. If you told me, here's how you recover from alcoholism, one of the things is a moral examination, a moral therapy. That's what they talk about. In Greek, therapon means a helper, moral help. So it never occurred to me to get moral help. I go to a psychiatrist. I'm not, because I was not interested in right and wrong or anything like that. And they also said, listen, there's four big hang-ups that drunks have. They're selfish, they're self-seeking, they're dishonest, and they're frightened. And they're reducing the resentments, fear, and sex. So all these things they're like trunks of trees with millions of leaves growing out of them. So we have, these are the things that run our lives, and these are the things that keep us drinking and keep us thinking about drinking and never free us up. So we never have a psychic change, which is nothing more than, I used to be this way, something happened, now I'm this way. How did that happen? I went to AA for 23 years, what happened? I said, Bobby, you went for 23 years, what happened? Did you have a psychological change? Did you have a shift in a body of attitudes? Did you have a different way to think morally or anything? No, what happened? Nothing. In other words, you went to a meeting for 23 years and you sat on a fucking aluminum chair and that's all you got out of it? Yeah. Well, I hated it. And I hated more than anything was to go with the 7 or 8 or 10 guys that I knew and go to the friendlies. I call the fucking zombies. Because I just hate, because they thought it was about drinking. But it's trickier than that. Alcoholics Anonymous isn't about drinking. But it's not about drinking, but it's about drinking. Not drinking, it's just the ante to get into the game. Like when you play poker, you have to come up with something. What are you going to ante up to play this big, big spiritual game? What are you going to ante up? Well, you have to either give up, stop drinking for a day at a time, or using a drug a day at a time. That's the ante to get in the game. Then you can play the game. Okay. So I knew what a resentment was, and I put them down. I analyzed them and asked four questions. Where were you selfish? Where were you self-seeking? Where were you dishonest? And where were you frightened? Okay. And this antidote's in the book for selfishness. It's called altruism. In French, autre means other. So we shift over from being obsessed with ourselves to be interested in others, to help others, the welfare of other people, other drunks. We have a fine opportunity to do it. Who do you think has a better chance of helping out an alky? A guy that is in this group and knows this stuff, or a doctor? Or a psychiatrist, or a rabbi, or a minister, or a priest, or an imam, or what? Who has a better shot? Some guy that's been a fucking drunk, been in jail, done this, done that, went through hell, and knows what this is about. It's about change. And there's steps to do it. The steps are almost like ingenious. I'm not trying to say Bill Wilson was a genius, and I don't want to overrate his abilities and so forth, but his genius was in taking four concepts from the Oxford group, which is the precursor to AA, HULP, honesty, understanding, love, and purity, and then they turned them into six steps, and later on, he fine-tuned them for alcoholics when they got free of the religious groups they were in, and they had their own group, and then he fine-tuned them in 1938 to produce the book. And those were fantastic steps for drunks to go through. It was very linear, it was very logical, and it affected change in those who did the work. So it was a hell of a thing for me to go through when I saw how this works. I didn't know really how it worked. I just thought you didn't drink, and almost rather be dead than not be able to drink with no tools at all. So when I had some tools, it's like, I'm going to do what they do. I'll go to the Hyannis group. I don't believe all this shit. I don't believe that the deity is going to be interested in me or this or that, but I'm going to do it anyway. So that was an act of not so much humility, but it was an act of common sense. And it was like of a self-confession. You don't know shit. You've been going around for years and years and years. And then finally, at the age of 53, you're starting to learn a couple of things. That was 30 years ago. You can do the math. I know I'm old. So then we have to do fear and write our fears down. I had about like 261. I didn't put down fear of something stupid like a giant anaconda is going to come in my room in the middle of the night and strangle me. I then put down something that was an improbable possibility or an impossibility. I put down things that were probable possibilities. And fear, I learned, wears about a million masks. Anxiety, panic, dread, trepidation, all of those negative things about fear that we have. A certain amount of it we need, because if the caveman didn't fear the big animals, we wouldn't be around. So a certain amount of fear is okay. Like when you're a little kid, don't cross the street. A car might hit you. That's related to survival. But they're talking about a different kind of fear here. And those are the things that make us drink. Anxiety, dread, trepidation, depression, all those bugaboos that alkies or even normal people go through. And then sex. They're not against sex, but they're against harming people. Okay? They don't want you to bang somebody's wife. The wife might love it, but her husband, you can't hurt him. Because that might bother you enough at some point that you get drunk because you did that. Plus, it's wrong. Plus, it's immoral. We all do shit like that. So anyway, I did all this stuff and put it all down. And then what I did was I I did write a letter to God. I don't know why. I just probably thought it was kind of hokey. But I put down things that I would do in the future to change, that I would no longer do such and such a thing in personal relations. I would know, I would avoid this, or I would try to change my driving habits, because I used to drive like Mario Andretti. I knew all the dirty tricks on the road and passing on the inside. And I mean, it's crazy. So I tried a little bit at a time to say, I used to do that, something happened, I'm looking for that psychic change, and then I drive differently now. It doesn't really have to do with age. And the sex thing really doesn't have to do with age. It's like I stopped my sexual activity because I was getting old. No. Certain things never change. I'm not talking about the ability to do that, but I'm talking about attitudes and all that to that. So don't do that, because it's dangerous and it can harm people, and it might get me drunk. I might not be able to live with it as I develop some kind of a conscience. So it's a qualitative change that came over me. So it was probably, in all the things I've ever done, the most worthwhile exercise that I've ever done. And I went in it thinking, I'll do it, but I'm only going to do it to, because they asked me to do it. And that was like probably the grace of God, or whatever you want to call it. It was that I was delivered from the condition of alcoholism. Because I can't know anybody who ever loved booze more than I did, who didn't love it, ever since I was a little kid. And when the first drink I ever had, I was about maybe 16. And it was a bottle of a half a pint of Mr. Boston Old Rockin' Chair whiskey. And all my life, I had been afraid of everything, particularly of men. I had no father, but I was afraid of bigger men, people that had power, authority, police, those kind of things. And I was a good kid. I never committed any crimes or anything. But I was afraid of men. So when I drank the booze, that was the first time in my life I remember ever doing a deep, deep, deep exhalation. It's like, oh, man, this is the way to live. That's what I'll do. And ever since, I've chased that feeling down the nights and down the days, all the time. I chased that feeling that I wanted to exhale and get rid of the nervousness and the fear and all that kind of stuff that I had. But I came here, I learned how to treat it another way. So anyway, that's my experience with some of AA. I want to thank John for asking me. I'll close with Carl Jung was a famous Swiss psychiatrist, and he was a great friend of AA. And written on his door in Latin was "Vocatus atque, nomocatus Deus adirit." In Latin, it means bidden or not bidden, God is present. So you can either bid God, or you can reject him. You pick one. Thanks.